it up there and then it continues. Just we could be set now. I think the Secular Urban Foundation, Mr. Saint just reminding me of something that I forgot, which we know. That you are also in the same boat with the coming of Shrub. Remember?
That's correct, Chair.
So you've already got a plan here?
Yes, Chair.
Oh, you've got a plan. Okay, sure. Then go ahead, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon to you, Chair, Madam Chair, and to the members. Thank you for the opportunity for us to present to you. I also bring greetings and apologies from our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Brian Mahorlo. He was invited by Rooftops Canada some time ago, so he and Ms. Odette Crofton are both overseas in Canada this week, so they were unable to attend here.
This document, nobody can bring them. I'm even putting my glasses, but I still can't read them. Please, sorry to apologize for that. I think it's not fair for members. Okay. All right. Can we use the screen members in the meantime while they're printing questions properly? Because really, can we go ahead?
Thank you, Chair. Right, this is our presentation from the Social Housing Foundation. Our contents of the presentation, essentially we'll quickly just work through the mandate, company structure and strategic objectives, our key performance areas, comment quickly also too on provincial operations and priorities for the MTEF, financial implications, and then I've also got a slide on corporate governance at the end there for information for the members. Essentially, our mandate, our legal status, is we were established as a Section 21 company in 1997 under the Companies Act. Our mission is to provide strategic services towards creating and developing a sustainable and vibrant social housing sector in South Africa. And our mandate. Chair, I'm deliberately going through this because a whole lot of new things have happened to the Social Housing Foundation in the last year. We were originally established to develop and build capacity with social housing institutions and to develop a policy framework for the sector through the Housing Amendment Act of number 20 of 1999. But we've also now been mandated by National Department of Housing to be the implementing agent for the interim social housing program in the absence of the regulator, the Social Housing Regulatory Authority, and we refer to that as SHRAW. We have been championing the new National Rental Housing Strategy, which was highlighted during the course of this last financial year. We're also the entity that has been tasked to manage the VROM, which is the Dutch Ministry of Housing and the National Department of Housing Memorandum of Understanding. We're also working together with the SIU, the unit within National Department of Housing, on turnaround of distressed projects. So that has been added to us. So central to this goal, we seek to create credible social housing institutions and simultaneously to develop housing capacity. We've got a small slide here on our understanding of development of the expertise, services and product, but I think in the interest of time, Chair, I'm just going to quickly gloss over that slide. Our structure, during the course of last year, we again had to relook at our structure for two reasons. Firstly, with the National Rental Housing Strategy coming on board, and the take on of turnaround work and with the adoption of the ISHP program, but also too, taking cognizance of the fact that Ms. Crofton is being a shared resource between the Social Housing Foundation as our head of operations, and she's also acting chief director with the National Department of Housing. So in her directorate, she has set it up in such a way that it complements with the work that we're doing within the Social Housing Foundation. So we have the board, obviously, which is executive management, the MD's office, who looks after strategic management, stakeholder management, OD, organizational performance, finance and administration, overseen by myself, which is essentially the back office support sector or section of the company, and then we have the operations, which is the implementation of the programs. The programs we've divided up into five areas. ISHP, the Interim Social Housing Program, which we are caretaking, obviously, until the social housing regulator is in place. We then have a thing called TSSP, Technical Sector Support Program, which interacts directly with social housing institutions and the sector as a whole. The PSSP is the Provincial Sector Support Program, and that interacts with the sectors of government, such as the provinces and local authorities. Finance is a very minor section there. It's not the finance of looking after the Social Housing Foundation. This looks at the funding that comes, the funding templates and what have you that we use, and the applications that we receive for funding from various institutions. And then finally, we've got the traditional research and development and monitoring and evaluation. Chair, I must also emphasize that the birth of some of these units has also happened as a result of the close down of the European Union program, which came to a 7-year end during the course of the last financial year. This slide, again, Chair, pretty much says what I've just been saying. What we're going to highlight here is the human resource element. In order for us to successfully work on these various areas, we have permanent staff, but we're also having to make use of consultants and contract staff. Partly as well, because we are conscious of the fact that once the Social Housing Bill is enacted and becomes an act, there will be the formation, the creation of the new entity, the regulator. The social housing institution then will be phased out. Its activities, many of them will be transferred across to the regulator. So we'll be looking to see the ISHP program, probably the PSSP program, definitely the technical program going across the regulator. And R&D and turnaround would revert back to National Department of Housing. So it doesn't make sense at this stage in the interim for us to be engaging permanent staff. So we're taking people on fixed-term contracts so that we can accomplish our activities. And I'm highlighting this because it impacts on our performance, as I'll indicate later on. Strategic objectives in our business plan. We have five main strategic objectives: policy support, monitoring and evaluation, delivery agent support, sector communication, professionalization and knowledge management, and government support. The sixth one indicated there, we put it on there because obviously for budgetary purposes, we've got to have an area for recording our running costs for the organization. And this slide, Chair and members, indicates on the various main five strategic objectives which sections within our operations department will look after those strategic objectives. Chair, this is an interesting slide which we have developed for our key performance areas. We did this also as a result of a request from National Treasury. We've got some key indicators on the left-hand side there: social housing institutions receiving funds, projects funded, units, the capacity development support, workshops held, etc. Now, in the past, one must remember that a lot of these numbers were influenced by the work done by the EU program, the support program for social housing. So that is why the numbers would appear to be a lot higher than they are in the current year, because the EU program is now closed down. So we don't have that additional capacity within the Social Housing Foundation that we now have. So obviously, but one can see we're able to talk about number of units financed there in the middle. That is as a result of the Interim Social Housing Program, the ISHP program. And we see projected forward for as long as the Social Housing Foundation is in existence and is receiving the funds on behalf of the SHRA and is awarding grants, definitely we will be supporting projects with units. This is just an example, or this slide here just highlights, for the first year of the ISHP program, four projects receive funding. Western Cape, the N2 Gateway, Joe Slovo project, 705 units. They got 42,582,000 rand. And then three projects in KwaZulu-Natal came through as a result of the interrogation by our technical advisors. One of them in Msunduzi, Pietermaritzburg, the other two at Tikwini, under a housing institution called SOCO. So in turn, Msunduzi is receiving nearly 22 million rand, SOCO 29 million rand for the Hilary Umkomban, and SOCO Linda House 8.5 million rand. The turnaround interventions we've been working on in the Eastern Cape and the municipality of Buffalo City, Quetta. We've been working on that one for 9-10 months. Also in the Eastern Cape, Abashlali. In the Western Cape, obviously we're working with the N2 Gateway, Joe Slovo project. We've got two reasons for working there. One, as a result of requests from National Department of Housing, the Minister, but also secondly, because it is an intervention where we have provided funding under the IFHP program, so we have a responsibility to ensure that there's value for money spent there. And then more recently, it's actually on a lesser basis, but definitely an intervention where we've been looking at Mpumalanga, the Emalahleni Housing Institution. This slide very quickly just indicates our provincial spread, the number of institutions and the number of units that we've been engaging with in recent times, and a geographical spread map. We can see where the institutions are located, and we see the spread. We have a current pipeline. The provincial authorities have a pipeline of projects which they would be bringing through for the IFHP program. We can see, obviously, the largest figure would be Gauteng, and then interaction with Eastern Cape, KwaZulu, and Northwest. And then we have what is called the community residential unit projects also coming through. So we're looking at approximately a pipeline with 30,700 units in the immediate future. The PSSP, our provincial sector support program, has been set up provincial steering committees in six provinces to date. We see Eastern Cape requires technical support, and Mpumalanga is lagging somewhat. We've also listed there a number of municipalities that we're working with. I'll just go quickly forward through this. The turnaround interventions, this is an indication of where we are currently. We're about to finalize Abashlali, complete sales and transfers of the project there. We're supporting Quetta's legal process, which has bogged down just recently. Complete the N2 Gateway Joe Slovo interventions, and then we'll be working on Emalahleni, Velkom, Gauteng projects, and other projects as they come through per the official list. I want to draw attention to the committee that turnaround is not one of our key elements of work. We undertake this, and our board is being very clear about this. We make sure that when we undertake this, it fits in with our core capacity work that we do in developing social housing. So it would largely be in the areas of lessons learned, dissemination of tools or models or project, tools or models that we've developed within the organization. Because you're obviously very conscious of the reputational risk that can attach if these things go wrong. On the interim social housing program, for the next 2 years, we submitted a business plan last financial year, towards the end of the year, October, November, to National Department of Housing for a two-year period to fast-track the release of funds to us so that it wouldn't hold up applications from projects. We see that there's 10 projects shortlisted with 4,000 units. With the 180 million rand budget, which was allocated for last financial year, we saw we would be able to fund three projects of approximately 1,300 units. We're currently calling for proposals for the 2008-2009 year, and we see we'd probably be able to build another 1,500 units with the revised 196 million rand that's in the housing vote that was tabled by Minister Manuel recently. Again, the unit works closely with both the technical sector program and the provincial sector program. So there's overlap with these programs. And then there's just a comment there on the multidisciplinary task teams working with within the city of Johannesburg. This is an interesting thing that's following the Constitutional Court ruling for the San Jose Zin building, and we're working with the Gauteng Department of Housing. I don't think I'm going to go through this slide. Chair, we put it in just to illustrate the National Rental Strategy. I'm sure the committee is already familiar with that. But we have seen that we have some operational burning issues, certainly around the areas of land, alignment, funding, and capacity. Right, this is the thing that we're here to talk about. Financial implications. For the current year, again, as indicated by my colleagues in the other institutions, my numbers are unaudited. The auditors are imminently going to be coming in the next day or so to start the final year-end audit. Our income, we had a budget of 21.9 million rand. We've declared income of 17.4 million rand, so we show a shortfall of income of 4.4 million rand for the period under review. Main reason, and one can see very clearly there, Chair, is we did not receive 5 million rand of the transfer funds we were expecting from Department of Housing as per our budget. The main reason for that is during the course of the year, with the restructuring that we undertook within the organization, the change in focus on some of the activities that we had to take on. During the year, up till December, we were reflecting quarter by quarter by quarter surpluses. The department took the view that if we continued that trend by the end of the year, we probably would still have a surplus, so therefore they did not release the final 5 million rand through to us, because, as I said, they thought we'd have a surplus, and also, too, recognizing that we did declare a surplus in our annual report last year. On our expenditure side, the budgeted expenditure for strategic objectives 1 to 5 is approximately 6.6 million rand, and added to that, the 15.2 odd million rand for the internal costs will give us our total budgeted expenditure for 21.9 million rand. Actual, for strategic objectives 1 to 5, we spent 5.1 million rand and then 14 million rand on our internal costs. Very briefly going through these, the strategic objective 1, which is policy support, there was expectation that there would be a lot more policy work going on than actually happened, and it didn't happen. I think also too, waiting for the bill to go through, the social housing bill to go through Parliament, and therefore having workshops, etc., on explaining this once it has been enacted into legislation, that has not happened in the last financial year. So we showed a surplus against budget there. Then strategic objective 2, monitoring and evaluation. We did undertake a lot of work, and this is where the complications start coming in, because one will see with my variance analysis of the positives and negatives there, big figures almost, with the overlap that is happening between the various activities. Monitoring and evaluation was largely an activity we took over from the EU program. When it closed down, we lost members of the staff who were operating on that program. We then engaged consultants, and then consultants would work broadly across strategic objectives 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, and 5. So when one adds those together, one can see the crossover work. But certainly now in our strategic objective 3, we did work on special needs housing, policy housing, hospitals. We had our master's program, and we had our generic project management and project development work that we were doing there, releasing risk management guide for social housing institutions and projects. We facilitated work on career pathing and training of social housing institution staff. We had a risk management workshop, a governance workshop, but certain other work did not happen purely because of staffing and as a result of the reorganization within the institution and the sharing of resources with National Department of Housing. Our strategic objective 4, which is our knowledge management, and professionalisation of the sector. There, two reasons why we have positive variance. Firstly, research publications, which take a lot of funding. The work was not completed by the end of the year. It had been under, it had been started, but the commitment of the funds, the payment of the money, had not come through by the end of the year. We'll only be seeing this being rolled over into the new financial year. And secondly, quite a considerable amount of money, nearly 400,000 rand, was also set aside for working with an institution from the Netherlands called NAFIC. And unfortunately, there were delays on the NAFIC side, and they're only now coming back to work with us there. So we have a positive variance there. Then we come back to Strategic Objective 5, which is working with the provinces, the local authorities. And we've also got CRU work, the development of the guidelines, the rollout of the guidelines, the use of consultants there. Right, so at the end of the day, Chair, we're going to be declaring a deficit for the year of approximately 2 million rand. On the ISHP, we have expended paid out 48 million rand of the funds that we received last year. There was about 50 million rand which had been paid out last financial year, so we've expended a considerable amount of the original 107 million rand we received. And then on the EU donor program, they came in with a lot of expenditure at the last minute, far more than was anticipated. So instead of getting the 1.2 million rand which they thought they would spend, they spent nearly 10 million rand there. But the spend on the ISHP program and the EU donor program don't affect the bottom line and don't affect the profit or loss or surplus deficit declared for the year. There's just a quick snapshot of our balance sheet. One can see that we're still liquid, it's still healthy. We're holding funds for the EU pending the finalization of their final audit and report, and then these funds, this 10, nearly 11 million rand, will be repaid to the EU shortly. The 19 million rand sitting on hand there for the ISHP at the end of March, a considerable amount of that has also been paid out in April. So of the original 107 million rand, we pretty much have worked off that for the four projects that we originally had. Accounts receivable, that's a little bit high. Main reason for that is at the end of the financial year, included in there are money spent on work done with one of the turnaround institutions, and which we are going to be reimbursed by one of our sister institutions, the NHFC, chair sitting next to me here, can confirm that. So we've got about 1 million rand sitting in there in accounts receivable that's going to be refunded to us. Just a quick look at our internal cost breakdown during the year. We can see that the major variance is salaries. We'd have, we plan to recruit some people, which we have found extremely difficult. Technical people are not that easy to find within the sector. We're looking for construction managers, architect-type people, built environment-type people, and we are struggling to engage these. So while we have budgeted to have these people on board, in effect, we did not have them. And as a result, we spent the money on consultants, and the money spent on the consultants has ended up in the strategic objective cost areas. Technical service providers, that figure there, negative variance, that came through from the EU program. Again, their problem was they were expecting to engage more staff, and instead the staff were leaving as they saw the program coming to an end. So technical service providers had short-term technical providers that could be engaged by the PMU. They also had a line item there, value-added tax, where they incurred VAT, but in terms of the EU program, they're not allowed to recover this back from SARS Plus. We no longer registered for that purposes, so unfortunately that became an expense which the PMU was carrying and has come through into the Social Housing Foundation consolidated accounts. We did have some savings on computer running costs. We did not implement one or two ICT programs that we were hoping to put in during the year on data vaults, as we call it. These are projects and programs that we're looking for the new financial year. Depreciation, saving there, although it's on a cash flow, but we did not expend as much on capital expenditure as originally budgeted. Legal fees, saving there again from the PMU. They thought that they would have more legal fees when they closed down. They didn't have that. There's just a pie chart showing the schematic breakdown of operational costs, the big purple thing being salaries, as one would expect. But I think I've already explained that to you. This is again the ISHP expenditure. When one can see grant payments, we paid out 46 million. The running costs within the ISHP program, they have running costs, anything from legal expenses, stationery, telephone, travel, etc. They came to 1.5 million during the year. Monitoring and evaluation exercises carried out primarily on the N2 Gateway, but also on Umsunduzi project and on the SOCO project. We did some rectification and training during the year, cost 210,000. We have, as originally put in the business plan, we are developing a system called an EPM, management system, that in the setup and creation of this system has cost 377,000 rand. And that is a system that will be handed over to the SHRA once they assume responsibility for the ISHP program. Interest received on funds, we put, which will go back into the program, 4.8 million rand there, Chair. Financial implications now for the new financial year. One can see both for the 2008-2009 financial year and then projected for the 3 years after. Chair, SHF takes note of and is cognizant of the fact that we will be closing down, but we're not sure exactly when. Obviously, primary factor affecting us will be the enactment of the Social Housing Bill into legislation, the formation of the SHRA, and then the phased handover of activities to them. So in terms of the PFMA, we develop our business plan and a budget accordingly for the current year and for the following 3 years, and it is taken note by both National Department of Housing and ourselves that obviously this will change or can change at any time. We have recorded there the transfer funding as from the housing vote tabled in Parliament by Minister Manuel for the current and the future 3 years. And we have then allocated our expenditure according, or our money accordingly, as to how we would be able to support our various activities to show that we have a net surplus or deficit of nil at the end of the year, while we endeavour very hard to try to come close to that figure. Policy and support money, therefore, is less than the current this past financial year. Monitoring and evaluation, again, the figure there is a little less. But delivery agent support, we've seen a lot more work will be done there. Again, the technical work done with the social housing institution, as indicated previously, public sector support, a lot more work to be done there. Again, with the provinces, the provincial steering committees, to get them, make sure that they continue to function effectively and to get the remaining three provinces online. And then, as indicated earlier as well, we've got the rollover of research work from the previous financial year coming into Strategic Objective 4, Communication Professionalisation. Internal costs, we are able to demonstrate that we are maintaining our spend pretty much in line with the previous year. There is just a breakdown of the internal costs expectation for the forthcoming year. The salaries is marginally up.
Your presentation takes much longer.
Okay, Chair. Okay. Just quickly, there's the ISHP plan spend for the current year and the next, well, essentially next financial year for the closeout of the 107 million rand from the first year, and the money is expected under year two and year three. Our balance sheet for the next couple of years, corporate governance, just for information. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And then members, let's engage then with the
foundation. appear to be doing well in terms of giving guidance, giving technical support, etc. But on the ground, certainly my experience is that it doesn't seem to find that all this effort and work and money doesn't seem to translate into again, the output. If I have to ask, where do we see successful institutions for the money space? Would you be able to indicate to me where they are? And then secondly, Chairperson, and I think the presenter touched on it towards the end, I'm still not quite clear, and it doesn't come across in the presentation. Your opinion, will you sort of go to bed one night at the ISHB and get up the next morning and be sharp? That sort of transition, how do you see it will take place? I know you can't give an indication of when, but how do you see it taking place? Will it essentially be the same organization that will exist under another name in whatever time period?
Chair, thank you very much for the questions. I think for information, and I think the committee may already well be aware, Mr. Maraba is our chairperson, and he's joined me here, so he'll also be helping me take some of the questions, so I can offload all the difficult ones onto him. The last question first, I think, is the easy one. On the slide, that slide that I put up there now, yes, we do show break-even. In the Public Finance and Management Act, it says that we should not budget for a deficit or a surplus. So essentially what we're doing is we work a little bit backwards. We do know we're going to have interest received, and you can see that it is not an inconsiderable amount of money. Which one would that be then? This one? Okay. Again, on the budget. So we know what our income is going to be, therefore we have to cut our cloth according to our income that we have, and we then allocate our income to our activities. So we know what our internal costs and our fixed costs are going to be, and we know how much we've got left for the rest of our activities. The reality is, at the end of the day, we don't manage to break even. If we have a surplus, we have to go to National Treasury and to National Department of Housing, declare the surplus to them and ask permission to retain funds as a result of that surplus. And if we've got a deficit, again, well, say we shouldn't be budgeting for a deficit. But we, if one looks at our annual report over the last 10 years, we've had both surpluses and deficits. We do have a net surplus situation, so we are well able within our, call it our equity, to cover this deficit for the current financial year, comfortably. So that's the first question, Chair. With the National Housing Finance Corporation working with the department and ourselves on some distressed institutions, there are some successful institutions in the country. The ones of note that come to mind immediately, Johannesburg Housing Company in Johannesburg. They are an extremely successful institution, and they've been recognized internationally by UN Habitat for Humanity. There's an institution which works, I would say, it is not just restricted to one province. That's the social housing company, SOCO. They work in several of the provinces. They're successful. And we have seen a turnaround as a result of our interventions. Previously, we talked about 63 distressed institutions out of 64 in the country. There's now at least 10 to 15 that have turned around in the recent couple of years and are now starting to show that they have sustainability and are more viable. The other thing that we also... that will happen is under the ISHP program, there are qualifying criteria which the projects have to demonstrate. They have to show their sustainability, viability, and a return on investment within the first year. If they don't achieve these hurdles, they will not qualify for the grants that would be made. So we've already seen in eight institutions that we have awarded grants to, that there's at least another eight projects that are successful. Under SOCO, JOSHCO, also in Johannesburg, SOCO. But we have had we get an application list of something like 15 institutions, and all of them are all prepared to demonstrate that they have this ability. So we see that there's a definite turnaround of the institutions within the country. And I think the Chair wants to just add to that.
Thank you, Chair. I think the issue of social housing institutions, I know earlier I didn't describe this, but the ills of social housing institutions was in their founding. In fact, the examples that Andrew referred to in terms of successes, they were set up on a different mode. For instance, Johannesburg Housing Company, they had a grant on their balance sheet to about 60 million before they started business. So on the basis of that, they started business and they started on a viable basis. SOCO was supported also get partially a grant from outside the country to support their balance sheet so that they could operationally begin on a good footing. And so the characteristics of the successful ones are similar. Somehow they got some kind of support externally before they got loan financing for project development. And I think that's been recognized with the new social housing policy. And that's why in the policy there's also a merit to say you do need some grant funding, especially for the initial capitalization of those institutions. I think as an HFC, what we did in the past in support of Social Housing Foundation was once they've capacitated, we gave them $2 million, which was a capacity building grant, which they did not have to pay back for the first 10 years. But, you know, $2 million is nothing if you want to recruit all the professional systems, set yourself up and all that. And so I think with time, some of those have improved and they're doing better. And I think the ISHP is now in a position to leverage on some of those historical improvement in those institutions. And these are the ones that are continuing to deliver. I think the implementation of the new social housing policy will go far in actually making the whole social housing sector viable sector for rental housing delivery. Thank you.
Chair, the question, will we go to bed as SHF and wake up as SHRA? As I indicated, we are seeing this as a phased approach. The SHF has been mandated to caretake certain programs, as I indicated, the ISHP program. That is laid down in the bill. So that will have to be handed over. And we're seeing that a lot of the work that we're doing in the technical sector support program, the provincial sector support program, is ancillary to that. So it makes sense that that will go to the regulator as well. And as I indicated as well, the R&D work will probably revert back to the National Department of Housing. But it's not going to happen overnight. If the this morning we know that there was the final meeting, I think, of the NCOP, and one of my colleagues was presenting at that, and all going well, I think everybody else has accepted the presentations and motivations, etc. We are hoping then that this will go through then to the state president for signing into law shortly. Once that is signed, then the fun starts. We can form the institution. We can recruit the CEO, the CFO. Then they have to start setting up policies, procedures, etc. So the new institution will be fledgling, but it won't be able to operate immediately from day one. The SHF, we have been mandated to continue in a stable manner to make sure that these other programs don't fall apart in the meantime. And then the SHRA will slowly but surely start taking these things over as they recruit the staff or take over the staff. And certainly, yes, a number of the people from the SHF will be taken over into the SHRA. But there's no guarantees that everybody will be taken over into the SHRA. And certainly, the way the bill proposes the SHRA will work, it is going to be a different institution. It's not going to be the same as the SHF. So it's not a new institution or new company, but in the guise of the old one.
Sure, just to add on that one, as a board, we have received notification to begin the process of de-establishment. But we're also watching in terms of what progress is being made on the other hand. I think in the meanwhile, we said to SHF, continue doing the business that you're doing until such time that development is such that now the SHRA can actually come into being.
Chair, I think the last question, which I'm probably going to hand over to my chairperson, Mr. Maraba. In previous years, how do we participate in pilot projects in relation to the Breaking New Ground? And asking what is our involvement there. Chair, in terms of Breaking New Ground, there are a number of different plans, and one of them is it's actually referred to social rental housing. And we are responding to the social rental housing, which has a broader definition than just social housing. And this is where the work by Ms. Crofton comes in as a result of her secondment as well as acting chief director in the National Department of Housing. There has been the development of the National Rental Housing Policy Guidelines, the CRU guidelines, and these are now going to be translated into the projects on the ground. The ISHP program is probably an excellent example of that, and the projects that we've got under that, plus as well as looking at some of the turnaround projects as well, because we can't continue to have these distressed projects trying to continue into the future.
That's what sometimes. But I think we are awaiting with interest to see the implementation of SHRA. But it is clear that there is a plan. And we would accept your proposal for it to be a phasing approach, because obviously there's no other way other than that. But thanks for coming to the committee, and at least we are clear in terms of what is expected of us. But we are also very worried about the support to the housing institution. We must say there is an interest in this house about that housing co-op in Johannesburg. And you call it co-op. Remember, co-op. Because those are the housing institutions with women, but it's falling apart. I know it's hemorrhage in terms of funding, of course. But at the end of the day, these institutions, when they're just being set up, they must move. In Western Cape, Mr. Stain knows we have the Cape Houses. The one you had on TV. Yes, exactly. So I hope you have seen that you said on that TV. It was not a beautiful sight. And those are the areas that we are people would be focusing on in terms of looking whether what we are talking about, we must walk the talk. So the presentations, which are laptop presentations in Parliament, to us, they're good, but the taste of the pudding is in the eating, the units on the ground and the viability of the units on the ground. So your strength will be tested in terms of that. Your intervention with regard to this housing institution before we even go there. So, but I don't know whether there is a plan to intervene in terms of that. But the Cape Town housing one is so much. And Skondekhond, I don't know what it is that needs to be done. But it is a great area in terms of your work. So it would be nice to say these are the kind of interventions we have in mind. But we cannot make it business as usual when there's that element in the self institution. I don't know whether did you people have ever any engagement with this DPA in Cape Town?
Just an acknowledgement. The Cape Town Community Housing Company was set up as a partnership, and NHFC was the other 50% partner to the city at the time. And currently the city is selling their shareholding because they no longer want to use it as a key vehicle for their delivery. From our side, we still hold the 50%, but we are considering the options going forward. Yes, the city has 50% shareholding. Yeah, it has 50% of that, and it has a different dispensation. Things move, but anyway, that's where we're at. Anyway, all I can say is that we are looking very closely at CTCHC. We are evaluating the options that they are presenting at the moment with a viewpoint of saying if all else fails, we're going to be taking it completely just to make sure that the appropriate, not just governance, but the operations of the institution is such that it can do for whatever purpose for which it was intended, it was set up for. And so I think that's still a work in process. But may I also bring this to the committee's attention? We have a challenge as an HSC, now that we're talking about social housing, but cooperative. And in Gauteng, for that matter, we have applied to the High Court to foreclose. I know you mentioned of COOP, but there are other three co-ops, Bertram's and all that. We won that application last week Wednesday, where we've been given the right to foreclose. But this is not an issue around people not willing to pay. This is the mismanagement of the body corporate, where some individual took over, they're making payments to his or whatever account, and as a result, NHS has not been paid for quite a long time. And this person has been, this court battle has been on for the past 2 years. And the person was using the funds that he collected to stage a legal battle with us. Now we took the whole matter to the High Court. We have won the case. Now we're going through a process of foreclosure. But our interest is for the end beneficiary. The tenants themselves, they want to pay. But someone is actually hijacking the whole situation. Just for your, if you see the headlines, NHFC foreclosed cooperatives, please just know it's with good intentions. We're thinking about the end beneficiary. Yeah. Thank you.
We thank the NHFC. You have any further? Sorry, the Sovereign Foundation. Okay, but thank you very much for the presentation. And thank you for your time. And we hope you travel well back home.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you copy your presentation here? Is this yours?
That's mine.
Okay.
You want to save it on?
You want to copy it here?
We will talk to you about the next committee.
Can you do it in both copies?
We need to end the profession committee for asking for the budget. But we're going to be busy with negotiations of that. Because of the day. Because next week there is main MEC, remember? Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be possible to have that meeting. Yeah. So I'm for the following. But we will talk to you about it. Thanks.
So yeah, just say, just go to their save and then check what, how many are there. There's Ian.
That's mine. I've got another F.
Okay.
I don't know if
then
there's
E. There's one is E then.
No, the E
one. Oh, then it's F. That's the other one is F.
I've done it.
Just go to the app, just go there, yeah?
They would lunch outside members,
yeah, very good.
Most unfortunately. Although you don't like to run that, but unfortunately it's supposed to come. Sorry, Greg. Sorry, if you want to be there. Yes, yes, questions. Yeah. Hey, what must we relative to that? Mudisa Matsudi, Islam contact is
alone. All
right. Yeah. Actually,
okay, ne?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you.
That's why I can check your label to Anna. Let me make my confirmation that you know.
Bobutuana, there is another, my brother actually is in the is in parliament, is a member of parliament by the name of Paul Nomwadu.
Let me see.